This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. President-elect Donald Trump's victory in Wisconsin broke a trend. It was the first time since 1984 that a Republican candidate won the state. But it's also becoming clear that Trump's victory has changed partisan trends within Wisconsin. Some blue parts of the state turned red, and some red parts of the state went blue.
Craig Gilbert joins us now. He's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Washington Bureau Chief and resident data cruncher. He recently wrote that the state's political map has been scrambled. Craig, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
Well, before we dig down into the details here, it looks like from some of your earlier reporting, I think based on exit polls, we saw some big changes at the county level. What is the story now that you're digging down to local governments, towns, local levels of voting?
Yeah, I mean, what you really see is all these really small towns and villages across Wisconsin where there were massive swings in the vote. There were more than 500 communities in Wisconsin that Obama carried in 2012 that Trump carried in 2016. And it wasn't just that, but the movement. I mean, there's a lot of places where Obama won by 10, 20, or 30 points, and Trump won by 10, 20, or 30 points, or places that Obama won by 5 or 10, and Trump won by 40. So those really dramatic swings overwhelmingly occurred in northern, central, and western Wisconsin, and they overwhelmingly occurred in very small communities. I mean, the typical, you know, town or village where this happened, you know, had a population of 500, 600, 700 people.
And a big argument among Democrats and others is over whether Donald Trump won the election by taking Democratic voters away from Democrats, or Democrats just didn't show up at the polls. I know
there's always an element of both, but you know, at least in the places I'm talking about, you don't get swings that massive when it's just a question of Democrats staying home or just a question of turnout effects. Because these are small communities where there's, you know, if you have, you know, a place where there's 400 voters and you go from, 60-40 Democratic to 60-40 Republican, some of those voters are switching.
Somebody switched their vote, clearly.
There's a lot of switching going on. There were some turnout effects. There's no way to say with precision. But clearly it goes beyond just depressed Democratic turnout. These are places where the swings were so large that there were, people were shifting party allegiances.
Let's talk about the extreme swings here, and let's start with Steuben in western Wisconsin. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, you're only talking about about 50 votes, but you're going from, you know, a 35 or 38 point Democratic margin to a 35 or 38 point Republican margin. So it's a swing of 73 points. That was the extreme. You also had a lot of small communities, you know, in western Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin, where you had 40, 50, and 60 point swings in the margins again. So it wasn't just a function of being a really small place where a few people changed their minds. And when you add up all the places that, let's say, were under 1,000 or 2,000 people, those votes really added up. I mean, and they, you know, more than anything else, got Republicans from a 7-point deficit statewide under Romney to a very narrow win under Trump.
That is the Democrat-Republican swing, but you also found communities where things went the other way. Talk about where you saw big swings from Republicans to Democrats.
Yeah, so obviously you didn't get a uniform swing across the state, even though Trump won the overwhelming number of municipalities in Wisconsin. There were more than 100 where Trump did worse than Romney, and considerably worse, and that overwhelmingly happened again. It's very striking in higher education, higher income suburbs, both Democratic suburbs and Republican suburbs of Milwaukee. It happened to some extent in Dane County too, in more Democratic areas, but particularly in the metro Milwaukee area, the entire North Shore of Milwaukee, which in some cases is blue, but in some cases is purple, and in a few in at least one case, River Hills, the wealthiest place in Wisconsin, is red. Those places all swung heavily in a Democratic direction. Clearly, these are voters who are reacting negatively to Donald Trump. But the same thing happened in Waukesha, parts of Waukesha and Ozaukee County. And where it happened was, again, more upscale, more well-to-do, higher rates of college education. You know, in some of these Republican suburbs, I mean, Trump did worse than any Republican nominee in memory. And at the same time, in these more blue-collar exurbs, even in the southeastern Wisconsin, in some cases he did better than any Republican nominee in memory.
We are drilling deep into the presidential election results in Wisconsin with Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And yeah, an interesting thing about your piece that we're talking about, Craig, we've been seeing the county-by-county results. When you look closer, you're seeing big differences even within counties.
Yeah, and again, even within counties that are dominated by the same party. For example, I keep going back to Waukesha and Ozaukee counties, where you had in Ozaukee places like the city of Mequon or Cedarburg, where they became a lot less Republican in 2016 because you didn't have the enthusiasm for Trump. And that happened in the more densely populated and, you know, the more affluent and the more educated communities within that Republican county. And it also happened in Waukesha, the same thing, you know, places like the city of Brookfield, places like Village of Elm Grove became less Republican. And Trump still carried every community in Waukesha County, but in the overwhelming number of those communities, he did considerably worse than Mitt Romney did. And this is important because, you know, one of the reasons a lot of us thought that Trump was going to lose Wisconsin was because of his weakness in the Republican base, which are these suburban counties. And that weakness was real. In fact, we saw it on Election Day. It's just that he more than made up for it by these dramatic swings and his huge surge in these small towns across northern, western, and central Wisconsin.
He made up for that, you're saying, in these small towns. How do those small towns map onto state legislative politics, state races for governor?
Well, you know, in Governor Walker's three elections, he did dominate rural Wisconsin. And the rural vote in Wisconsin is really interesting. In a lot of states, it's overwhelmingly Republican. But the history in Wisconsin has been that it's more purple. Obama won the rural vote in his 2008 election, which is pretty remarkable. And he didn't lose it by all that much in 2012. But Donald Trump won it by, you know, 20 or 30 points this time around. And that's a bigger, you know, he did better, considerably better than George W. Bush did or any other recent Republican nominee. The point is the Democrats in a state like Wisconsin, one reason Wisconsin has been a blue-leaning presidential state is that Democrats have been competitive with rural voters, which is like a third of the electorate. And they've even been dominant in some parts of the state, like southwestern Wisconsin, with rural voters. One of the reasons Scott Walker dominated in his gubernatorial elections is that he really dominated the rural vote, but we hadn't seen it at the presidential level until this election.
Craig, we've spent most of our time on the numbers here. Do we have an understanding of the why? What motivated rural voters to switch from supporting Obama 8 years ago, not letting Obama get beaten too badly in rural areas 4 years ago, to a big win for Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is the thing that is going to be a subject of endless and is a subject of endless debate going forward, is how much of it is economics, how much of it is culture. You do have, when you look at the rural vote in the exit polls, you find that it was more anti-Hillary Clinton than suburban and urban voters. It was less anti-Trump than suburban. It was more negative about the economy. It was more negative about trade and immigration. You have it's a combination of cultural and economic issues and also a more generalized sense of people being frustrated and frustrated at Washington, frustrated economically. All those things that we think of as sort of fueling the Trump vote, it is more that those things are more intense in rural Wisconsin, and this education divide, which was such a signature of this election, is you really find it in rural Wisconsin because you have lower levels of college graduation in these rural areas, and so the mix of voters is different. Obviously, they're overwhelmingly white None of these explanations is necessarily all that satisfactory in isolation. But some of it is pro-Trump, but some of it is also anti-Clinton. I mean, even in, among rural voters, Trump had a negative rating of around 50%. So he was not universally popular in rural areas, but a lot of these voters who had reservations about him voted for him anyway, partly because they were so negative about Hillary Clinton.
We'll talk about complicated answers. I guess this next one's going to be even more complicated. Is this a long-term realignment, and how will we know if it is?
We're not going to know for a while. I mean, I think you have to be cautious about, I mean, we have this discussion every time there's a striking election result, and certainly we had it when Obama swept the state in 2008 by much larger margins than Donald Trump. I mean, we shouldn't forget that Donald Trump didn't win 50% of the vote in Wisconsin, and he only won the state by 7/10 of a point. Yet he made big strides over what Mitt Romney and John McCain did. But he didn't, you know, George W. Bush, came almost as close to winning the state in 2000 and 2004. So be cautious about, you know, kind of the realignment theory. At the same time, you know, Democrats, if you're a Democrat, you know, the Democratic Party has to figure out how to shore itself up with rural and blue-collar voters in a state like Wisconsin, a state where they have traditionally been competitive and where they can't afford to lose these voters by overwhelmingly margins because they're such a big part of the electorate. But I think part of the answer is long-term in the sense that we're seeing a growing urban-rural divide and we're seeing a growing education divide. So the Trump election sort of fits into those long-standing patterns. But it also goes beyond them because of the nature of Trump's candidacy, the nature of his message, and also the nature of Hillary Clinton and her unpopularity with these voters. So there's some interesting trends going on in Wisconsin. You see it in the comparison between the Senate race and the presidential race, where Donald Trump outperformed Ron Johnson in these more rural areas, particularly in western and northern Wisconsin, and Ron Johnson outperformed Donald Trump in these suburbs we've been talking about. So a lot of it is going to depend on the Trump presidency going forward and whether he can find a way to kind of knit together these different components of the Republican coalition and hold on to some of these independent, even Democratic voters who voted for him last month.
We'll leave it there for now. Craig, thanks a lot for joining us.
Great to be with you.
That was Craig Gilbert, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Washington Bureau Chief. He joins us to talk about how partisan loyalties in Wisconsin shifted in President-elect Donald Trump's win.